my Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When my Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my heart is right when he calls me, if my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, when my Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear. When my Savior, I will answer. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, if my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Shake somebody's hand while we sing it.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord again together to worship Him in spirit and truth. And we've got a few prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. And Brother Joel, if you just make your way at this time, I'm going to have you pray over these prayer requests. Noah Bird, that's Brother Jeremy and Sister Becky's little boy, he had to have his appendix removed on Tuesday, and he's doing well. Went to see him in the hospital yesterday, and he was chipper and seemed like he was doing fine, but I think he was able to go home today because they were able to do it laparoscopically. So just want to remember him in prayer for continued recovery. And then Brother Lauren Bowen, he had knee surgery on Tuesday, and we went and visited him today, and he's in good spirits as well. And just want to remember him in prayer for a quick recovery. They had to put his leg in a cast. I believe if I understood correctly, his kneecap was split in two, and so they had to do a little bit more work than they expected, and he's going to be in a cast for 4 to 6 weeks, they say, before he can even really start rehabilitation. So I want to remember him in prayer. We know the Lord's able to speed up that recovery quicker than the doctors expect. And Brother Jared Beletka, we've got an unspoken prayer request for him. And then Brother Furman just asked that we continue to remember Sister April. She's feeling better, but she's just really wore out from the surgery. And just want to continue to remember her in prayer. How many of you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Joel, would you just lead us in a word of prayer? God bless you, brother.
Let's just bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord God, we just come before you, Lord, in this late hour, Lord, and we're bringing before all these needs, God, and you saw the hands that were raised, Lord. Brothers and sisters, it just seems like, Lord, you've been using doctors to heal, God. We just pray that after those surgeries, Lord, Brother Lauren and Brother Noah and Sister April, all of them would just have a speedy, quick recovery, Lord God. Lord, you know just exactly what they have need of, Lord. For each and every one out there, Lord, just bless them tonight, God. Help them, Lord, just to raise their expectations, whatever their day might have entailed, God. Struggles in the world, Lord, or at a job, or just fighting with kids, maybe schooling them, Lord, God. You know the difficulties all these brothers and sisters have encountered. Lord, we just pray, God, that you would help them to set aside all the turmoil, all the stress of life, God, and just enter into worship, Lord, and come in, God, to hear your word preached, Lord. God, we just want to pray for the meetings that are coming up, Lord, reverently, just fervently bringing before you in prayer these meetings, God. We just believe there will be testimonies come from them, Lord, and a blessing to the people, God. Lord, we just ask all this now in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated this evening. Brother Joe, did you bring your guitar tonight? You can use mine. So I guess Sister Becky didn't bring her banjo either. Will you all sing for us this evening? I've had multiple requests for you all to sing the song that you all sang at the Harem Bassics on Sunday, I guess.
Praise the Lord. Good to be here tonight. We were kind of... had a little scare last week. We were up on the mountain there. Well, it's kind of a mountain anyway. Up at the fire tower. And Joseph, I didn't know, but he followed us up there on his bicycle, my bicycle. And didn't know it, but he had wrecked and went off in a deep ravine. And when we got there, it looked really, really bad. And we just, I guess my adrenaline, her adrenaline too, we picked that big old boy up and helped him up the hill and got him in the emergency room and just really prayed. And Brother Nathan, he was praying and heard about it and called us and everything. And we were just really concerned. He couldn't even walk. And he had actually got knocked out from the fall. And they did a CAT scan and x-rayed his knees and everything. And they were all fine. So we just certainly praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And just as a further testimony, he went over and helped a brother move 9 tons of gravel this week. So when the Lord does something, he does it right, don't he? I don't know if he wanted to move 9 tons of gravel, but praise the Lord. But I tell you, we go through storms in life, don't we? And so glad the Lord's always there to help us and be with us. And I remember listening to that message, Go Wake Jesus. And sometimes, you know, you go through something in your life and you don't realize he's always there right beside you all the time.
Well, crossing the calm sea with Jesus, the disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, yet he was asleep at the stern. Oh, does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith? Because you've prayed all night and you held on with all your might. Child, your cries have awoken the child, your cries the Master.
Amen. That's more than a song tonight. It's a reality.
Amen.
To know that the cries of even the weakest Christian can still wake the Master.
Amen.
God bless you. If the brothers would come at this time, sing this together. Oh, Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Hosts. Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Hosts. Oh, He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Hosts. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Hosts. Yes, our Messiah, He's the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Messiah is the King of Kings. Yes, Messiah, He's the Lord of Lords. Oh, He's the King of Kings. Oh, He's the Lord.
Messiah is the King of Kings.
time. Oh, he's the king. He's the Lord. Messiah is the King of Kings. Messiah is the Lord of Lords. Help me sing this tonight. One night while on life's agency, it looked as if I would suffer defeat as the blackness of night drove off the light. My heart sank with fear. I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then Jesus stepped in, said, "No, this one, he's mine. Now I'm safe from all harm. Since he walked through my storm, he came looking for me. Oh, he came looking for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, looking for me. Oh, he made a way when there his plans had moved forward to put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Well, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then my Jesus stepped in, said, "Satan, this one is mine. Now I'm safe from all harm." He walked through my storm. He came looking for me. Let's stand and sing it tonight. He came looking for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus, looking for me. As if I would suffer defeat as the blackness of night it drove out the light. My heart sank with fear. Oh, in my desperate cry, it rang out with fright. Oh, all I could see was no hope in sight. With my faith all but gone, then I met that one who came looking for me. Oh, just in time, he came looking for me. Oh, he's there right on time, looking for me. Oh, and he made a way when there was no way that I could see. Well, I had drifted far, but my Jesus was near, and he rescued my soul. Gonna put me away. I had drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? Oh, I knew my destruction was a matter of time. Then my Jesus stepped in, said, "This one is mine." Now I'm safe from all harm since he walked through my storm. aren't you thankful that he came looking for you?
Amen.
Amen. He may have found you a different place than he found me, but he found us.
Amen.
Amen. I don't care where he found you. Maybe he was in the gutter. Maybe you was a prostitute. Maybe you was a beggar. Maybe you was a drug addict or an alcoholic. Or maybe you was just a good denominational Christian that was just as blind as all the rest of them were. But he found you somewhere.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, you say, Brother Nathan, why do you sing some of those songs so long? When I see God doing something with somebody, I give him a little bit of time to do whatever he's doing. Amen. I don't know all that's going on, but I can recognize when somebody's getting blessed and somebody's worshiping the Lord, and I just try to give vent to that. That's what we're here to do, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham said in the Hebrews series, he said, the preaching of the word, it's wonderful. He said, to come and hear a message, it's wonderful. But he said, the main thing is the worship. And he said, you don't just come to worship just here in this building. He said, but when you go out there and you're on your job and somebody takes the Lord's name in vain, you say, don't that make you ashamed of yourself? He said, that's a worship. He said, when you encourage somebody, that's a worship. He said, all these different things is a worship. Amen. So it takes more than just coming in the doors on Sunday or Wednesday. That's wonderful. I appreciate that you do that. But it should be a worship outside of these doors as well. Amen. God bless you tonight. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 1. We've been looking on Wednesday nights on this thought of speak the word. And we're going to pick up on Moses again tonight. We'll probably be on Moses for a little while. But we want to look at this on Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Now he's went and he's told him this multiple times. They've already had four plagues, and Pharaoh has seen the hand of God. Even his magicians had to testify that it was the finger of God that created the fleas, because they couldn't impersonate when it came to creation. But yet God continues to allow his heart to be hardened, and he still keeps sending Moses and Aaron out. And now again, as they come to him at the beginning of the fifth plague here, they're asking him again, God's saying, let my people go. God had grace even for Pharaoh. That shocked some people, but he had grace even for Pharaoh. Paul said that some were ordained to be vessels of honor and some to dishonor, but he didn't just throw people away and say, well, you're just an old vessel of dishonor, not give them a chance. But he even gave Pharaoh chance after chance after chance to obey his word. Plague after plague, warning after warning, but there came a final warning and then judgment. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this evening, Lord, I just ask that you would come on the scene in a special way. Lord, may you just touch each heart that's here. Lord, no doubt each one facing trials may be very different than the others. Maybe one sitting right in the pew next to another one and going through completely different battles, completely different circumstances. But yet you know about each one. You know about each heart and each condition. Lord, you know the circumstances that each one's facing. You knew before the foundation of the world, before one creature was created, before there was even light that had been created. You knew who would be assembled here tonight. You knew what we would be wearing, what we would be thinking, the songs that we would sing, the words that would be spoken. You knew all about it. And Lord, yet here we are tonight fulfilling what you already had in your thinking. And Lord, as your foreknowledge could look down through time and see each one of us where we would be and what we would be going through, if you knew what we would be facing, then we believe by faith that you have a way of escape for us for whatever we're facing, that you have a provided way, that you've, Lord, conditioned us for the journey. And even though sometimes it may seem dark, even though sometimes the trials may seem hard, yet we know that you're with us through the trial. Lord, we thank you for that, just to know that you're with us. Lord, I would rather be out in the sea somewhere, tossed about, Lord, on the back of a ship somewhere, not knowing what would take place, but knowing that you were with me, than to be safe in my living room in my recliner, knowing that you were far from me. Lord, help us to stay in your will. Help us to stay, Lord, walking in your leadership and in your guidance. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. We commit this service to you. May you have preeminence. May you speak, Lord, what you would have us to hear. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. God bless you this evening. You can be seated. We want to pick up on verse 3 of Exodus chapter 9. And this is the fifth plague that would begin to hit Egypt. Moses speaking to Pharaoh here, he says, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain." Now, this word murrain is a Hebrew word that means plague or pestilence, a cattle disease or cattle plague. And Moses says in verse 4, "The Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land." Now I want you to notice the Lord appointed a set time. And there's many different things that we go through in our life. We wonder, why did this happen then? Why did this take place then? But the Lord sets appointed times in our lives for things to happen. Maybe 10 years ago, if he would have thrown some of the trials in your lap that you're facing now, maybe you wouldn't have been prepared and conditioned, as we looked at Sunday morning, or pressurized on the things that you're facing now. But he sets an appointed time in our lives for things to take place. He doesn't let us be born and about 3 years old just say, well, here's the whole plan of your life, and here's who you're going to marry, this is what school you're going to go to, and the job that you're going to work at, and you're going to retire out of here, and this is what your pension plan is going to look like, and this is how much money you're going to have to survive on. He doesn't lay it all out like that, but yet at appointed times, at specific places in our lives, he leads us to whatever he has for that specific time. And I'm glad that he does it that way, because sometimes if we knew some of the things that was coming down the road, we'd sure try to run and get away from it and around it every way we could. But God allows it to happen at his appointed time. And Brother Bram says that this way, he said, God's timepiece is working just right. And another place he says, the wheels are turning just right if we can just get in the turn. So I hope we can get in the turn tonight. He says, the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel did not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Now, can you imagine the rashness of a man like this, that here Moses comes in with, thus saith the Lord, and he walks right up to Pharaoh, and he tells him, look, God has set a specific time. He doesn't just say, hey, some of your cattle's going to die. Well, any of us could maybe walk out there and do that, just as there have been impersonators that have come along and said, well, somebody's got a backache over here, and somebody's got a headache over here. But when Brother Bannum would turn around and say, there's somebody sitting over here, and I see a road sign coming up, oh, they're from Kansas, and this is what's wrong with them, and this is what's taking place, and I see what their doctor looks at, and oh, excuse me, I was trying to see what he was writing on the chart there, and it would break into a very specific realm. That's a little more than somebody's got a headache over there, or somebody's got a backache over there. And Moses doesn't just come in and say, Pharaoh, you better let the children of Israel go, or some of your cows are gonna die. But he begins to get very specific, and he tells him, there's going to be a plague that's going to break out on your cattle, and it's going to kill, slaughter maybe thousands and thousands of your cattle. But yet right next door, over just a few blocks away in Goshen, there's going to be a group of people, and not one of their cows is going to die. Now, you know, a lot of diseases are airborne or contact or different ways that they go across. So it was a scientific miracle, a scientific oddity. The health department would have probably said, there's absolutely no way it can happen that here's these cows in this field and they're going to get this disease, and these cows in the very next field, not one of them going to die. They said, absolutely impossible. You don't have to worry about anything, Pharaoh, you know, because this guy's off of his rocker. But the very next day, at the appointed time that God had appointed, they begin to notice, you better call a veterinarian, Pharaoh. There's something wrong with the cows over in the east pasture. And then maybe by noon they said, oh my, you better do something fast. Now it's in the cows in the west pasture and the north pasture and the south pasture, and it's everywhere. And he said, send the messenger and run down and check in Goshen, see how their cattle are doing today. And the veterinarian goes down there, has the cow stick out his tongue, looks in its eyeballs, looks at its hoofs, looks all around, checks its udders and everything else. He said, oh my, I've never seen such a healthy cow in all my life. What was it? God protecting his people in the time of tribulation. There's something about it that God protects his people. And Pharaoh could look and see this and see the words of Moses fulfilled exactly to the letter, as we looked at it last week, how that he would call for frogs to come up out of the ponds and the lakes, and they would be there, and the magicians would come and they would impersonate this plague that Moses had brought on them. But yet when it came time to take the frogs away, they said, "We can't do it." Brother Ram said, "Satan can't heal." But yet when it came time to take the frogs and the things like that, they'd come up out of the ponds and the lakes and everything. They were already there. They were just called to the place. But then when God tells Moses, "Take out there and gather you up a handful of dust and throw it out there and say, let there be lice," and creation begin to take place, the magicians and soothsayers scratched their head and said, "We don't know how he did that one." They couldn't impersonate that third plague, or as we looked at it, the third pool last week. They couldn't impersonate that. What was it? When it came to speaking something into existence or speaking something out of existence, they couldn't take the things away, but they can impersonate many of the things that involved taking something that was already there and just manipulating it a little bit. But when it came to the voice of creation, they had to admit, "We don't know how he did that one, Pharaoh." And now there's a division. And maybe they could look, and maybe just a fence between these cattle. And over here, thousands of cattle laying dead in the pasture from a plague that they couldn't explain where it came from or where it went to. And right next door in Goshen, every cow walking around saying, I'm sure I'm glad we're an Israelite cow. Exodus chapter 9, verse 8. The sixth plague begins to go into effect. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, "Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains." That's a Hebrew word that means blisters, or to swell up, "upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt." And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magician and upon all the Egyptians. Now it's come to where it's become something personal to them. They were able to take and put plagues on other people and do all these different things, but now the magicians couldn't even come and stand before Moses, because now they had this plague upon them as well. Now Paul picks it up in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8, and he begins to bring it down to today and to talk about the end time, what would take place. And he says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but," oh, I like this part, "but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also." Now, I like this because it's a testimony of what will take place in the last days, that just as Jannes and Jambres withstood the message of Moses, that there would be those that would resist the truth in this age, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but yet we have a promise that their folly should proceed no further. Their folly would be made manifest unto men, and they wouldn't proceed no further. What is it? We saw just recently a little manifestation of it, where persecution and people leaving the message and all kinds of things begin to spring up. But now it doesn't seem like they're doing very much, you know, damage. Oh, they're still writing words on websites, but it's become so ridiculous that even the people that are following along with them are scratching their heads and saying, I don't even know if I can go along with that. What is it? Their folly is being made known. Now, I want to know, I'd like to ask Paul the question, Paul, what gives you the authority to say what these men's names were when Moses never records their names? Never in the Old Testament is the name Jannes or Jambres mentioned, ever in the Old Testament. But Paul picks it up and he begins to say the names of these men in the New Testament. He records it, even though they had been dead for thousands of years, these men that withstood Moses, he picks it up by revelation and gives it in the Holy Scripture for us to say. Now, people do the opposite in this day. They look back to the Old Testament and the New Testament and they scratch their heads and say, "Well, I don't see William Branham's name in there. Well, I didn't see Jannes and Jambres' name nowhere back there either." But yet Paul said it, didn't he? I didn't see John the Baptist's name back there in the Old Testament, but yet he fulfilled everything that Isaiah had spoken that the Elijah to come in that age would do. We didn't have the names of many different ones that came through promise. We didn't know what Jesus' name would be in the Old Testament, but yet his name was revealed in the New Testament. Yet we still believe it. Why? Because he performed everything exactly the way that it had been prophesied of him. Now this word Janus, it's a Greek word that means he vexed. And my, you talk about a name being put into action. He vexed was his name, that he vexed the people. And then Jambres was another Greek word, which the meaning is a foamy healer. A foamy healer. That's F-O-A-M-Y, but I think we could pronounce it a phony healer too. A false anointed one. And there he was trying to withstand Moses, whose name meant drawn. She said his name was drawn because he was taken from the water, is why she began to call him this. But as we notice down through Moses' life, that his name begins to be put into action as well, because not only was he drawn from the water, but when he gets out there and he sees his brothers striving with the Egyptians, there's something in there that draws him. Even though he has all the wealth of Egypt here on one side, there's something else that draws him over to connect more with this group of mud daubers. As Pharaoh looked out the window and saw, yet there was something by revelation that drew Moses to this group. When anybody with common sense intellectually would say, Moses, you just stick around a little while, you'll take over the whole thing anyhow. If you want to deliver them, then just wait till Pharaoh dies. It's going to be yours anyhow. But by revelation, he looked and saw God's provided way. He didn't take the intellectual way. He didn't take the easier way. But something drew him to this group of people. Then one day, here he is on the backside of the desert, and he's walking along the mountain of God there, and he sees something that catches his attention, and he's drawn to a burning bush that it burnt, but it never consumed, and something draws his attention to that, and a vindicated voice begins to speak out of this bush and begin to call him and commission him and send him with a vindicated message. And now he's drawn back to Egypt. Drawn back to everything that he ran away from, yet with the commission now, he's drawn again back to God's people. He fulfilled his name just as much as the others did. No wonder Brother Branham tells us that there's something about a name. I know Shakespeare disagreed, but I'll take Brother Branham's word over Shakespeare's. I don't think I'd want to say, here you go, honey. I bought you a dozen cactus today. Why don't you put them on the kitchen table? He said, a rose by any other name is just as sweet. But there'd be something about it that just wouldn't sound right. Honey, I went down to the florist today, and I got you 3 dozen stinkweed. There they are. There's something about a name, I believe. Brother Branham tells us, those different ones that had name changes and things, there was something about it that God was transitioning them. Jacob could stand there and be a shyster his whole life, but then God looked at him and said, no, you're not a shyster anymore. He made him call his name. He said, what is your name? He knew what Jacob's name was, but he made Jacob confess and admit to it. He said, don't be called by that name anymore. You're going to be called a prince. He looked at Abraham one time. There he was, childless. He said, what's your name? He said, it's Abram. He said, well, there's your problem. We're going to change your name to the father of many nations. Amen. Wrote him out an eternal prescription. Amen. Brother Ram says it this way in To See Jesus in 1954. He says, when he called for boils, they broke out in them and they couldn't heal themselves. Do you see the mark of God as divine healing? He says again in the same sermon, God is the healer. Satan cannot heal. And when you see signs and wonders and something or another accompanied in the spiritual realm, like perceiving thoughts of the people, quickly the unregenerated heart says spiritualism. But when you see the sign following that spirit of healing and blessings of God, you realize it's coming from God. He says in Power of Transformation, 1965, he said, don't let someone come in here and tell you something different. Watch what God is vindicating and proving. Now, if them people look back and say, Moses, God appeared in the skies, and the man spoke into existence, fleas, flies, frogs, took out of existence, boils, and diseases. These people could stand there and look at that. Look at what God was doing. Here a man is speaking forth words, and here comes flies and fleas and frogs. And here he speaks and calls the exact same things out of existence. You would think they could have looked there and seen the vindication. You could think they would look and be able to see the signs following and recognize God is doing something here. But yet many of them went the other way and mocked it and laughed at it. Why? How could two group of people sit there and see the exact same plagues, the exact same signs, the exact same vindication, and one group walk away and laugh, and another group say, "That's a prophet. That's our deliverer." How could they do it? Why? Because God had predestinated them. God had called them. God had elected them. God had ordained them. And there was nothing down on the inside of the other group to believe. As I told, I believe it was my dad the other day, I said, I can't imagine some of these people taking some of these men's word that have walked away from the message and some of the things that they do and taking their word and following them away from the message. I said, many of these men, I wouldn't follow them across the street, let alone away from the message. Well, you can get mad or you can get glad. Either way tonight, it's okay. We're going to preach the word either way. Exodus chapter 9, verse 18. The seventh plague begins to come into existence. "Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause it to rain in a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. And he that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses." Now they're starting to get a little bit of sense, at least some of them are. Those that feared the word of the Lord begin to recognize, now there's something going on here. There's something about this man. Every time he comes and he speaks, God performs what he does, and they're protected over there in Goshen. And now he comes and says there's going to be a hailstorm that's going to kill the cattle. "Hey, you over there, this servant and that servant and that servant, you all better get the cattle and get in the house over here and protect yourself, or you're going to die from a hailstorm." But yet there was still another group in verse 21. "He that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field." Can you think of the stubbornness of some people that... With Brother Bram said it this way, fools will trod with hobnailed shoes where angels fear to trod. And here they see time after time after time, God manifesting exactly what this man speaks. And then he comes again and he speaks, and they just say, "Oh, there's nothing to it. You don't worry." Maybe some of the servants hanging onto the door, "Please let us come in the house. Don't you realize every time this man speaks," they said, "Don't worry. Go on out there. You know, there's just about a dozen websites that says he's just an occult anyhow, and you'll be fine. You just stay out there. Then why are you inside?" Oh my. "And the Lord said unto Moses," verse 22, "Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire ran along up on the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel was, there was no hail." The Token, 1963, Brother Branham says it this way. He said, God had visited them. God had showed his signs and wonders in the midst of them. What is that? Now stop a minute. He said God had showed them his grace. He had given them a chance. They couldn't turn it down and say, "Oh, there's nothing to that. It's nonsense. It's just something up in the cataracts. There was an eruption of red mud flew out, and that's what made the sea red." Then the hail come. Then the frogs came. God had prepared a place and put his word in a prophet's mouth, and what he spoke, it came to pass, and they seen it. They couldn't deny it. They recognized it. They saw it, and yet they couldn't deny it, and yet many of them still just walked away and said, well, you know, that's what they believe, but we'll believe this over here. They did it again in this day. How many of them sat in service after service? Thousands, multiplied thousands of those Pentecostal people saw the sign of the Son of Man and saw a man step out there to the platform and play around with his coat pocket for a minute and say, oh, you recognize I'm stalling for something. He said, I'm just as helpless can be. And then turn around a few seconds later and say, he's here. And I take every spirit in the building under my control. What changed? It was no longer just a Kentuckian with a suit coat on, but God had stepped down and was speaking through the lips of a mortal man again in this age to where he could say, I take every spirit under my control. Now, I know there's ministers that try to imitate it, but I'd be scared to death to try to do it unless God told me to. And if God told me to, then he would back it up somehow. But until he tells me to, I'll just keep my mouth shut. Oh, we'd be a lot better off if we learned to do that more often. But here he steps out there and takes every spirit under his control, and demons of death, demons of cancer, demons of diabetes and leukemia, all kinds of forms of cancer, tuberculosis, everything you can think of. He would take and bind those demons, and people that walked in with crutches would walk out without them. People that walked in with glasses would walk out without them. People that walked in wheelchairs and cots and stretchers would walk out without them, until in South Africa, he said he began to hear a commotion outside, and the mayor of the city called him out to the street to look and see. And he said he looked down the streets and 7 army trucks full of cots and stretchers and crutches and braces and everything was coming down the city streets with the people walking beside him singing, only believe, all things are possible. Right. You know, they can follow these guys that can design a website if they want. I'd rather follow a man that God would honor his word enough to make something like that take place. Right. I would rather follow a man that could speak and a storm would cease. I would rather follow a man that could speak and a little boy in Finland raised up from the dead after being mangled in a car wreck, that could speak out in California when he goes to speak things that are to be. And he says there in Rialto, California, at the end of 1965, he said, the last time I was here, I was in a tent meeting. And he said there was a family that drove clear across the country with a dead baby, drove all night. Dead baby, stiff as a board. And he said they got there to the meeting and pulled up to the tent. And he said, I walked out and they rolled down the window. He said it was raining and they handed me the baby out the window. And he said, I just took it and I began to pray for it. And he didn't ask him what denomination they belonged to, what their doctrine was, or what type of person they was, or what type of life they lived. He said, I didn't even ask him if they was a Christian. And he takes the baby and he begins to pray for it. And he said, all of a sudden I begin to feel it get warmer. Oh, I believe it's getting a little warmer in here tonight with the Holy Spirit and fire. He said, I began to feel it get warmer and it began to scream and to kick, and I handed it back inside the window and they drove off. You think those people would call him a false prophet? I doubt it very much. Why? Because they saw something more than just a creed or a checklist. They saw God manifesting himself again in this day by a Son of Man ministry. Oh my, they saw something real. You know, people can talk and criticize and make fun, but I don't see anything real that they have. In fact, all they've done is, since many of them have walked away and left the message, all they've done is got further away from God. As I heard Brother Donnie say one time, he said, they're leaving the message. He said, but what are they going to leave? Are they going to leave predestination? He said, that's in the Bible. Or are they going to leave serpent seed? That's in the Bible. Are they going to leave water baptism? That's in the Bible. Well, he said, what are they going to leave? He said, holiness. That's the first thing they'll leave. And that's exactly what they've done, many of them. It was too close of a walk to walk. But you remember, I believe it's Brother Billy Paul that tells the testimony. He said, there's only one thing that can walk a razor's edge, and that's a tapeworm. Amen. So they can call us tapeworms. They can tell us we're following a man, whatever they want to say. I'm proud to be following a man tonight. Amen. I'm following a man. I don't have to be ashamed to admit it. You know, when all those people was walking out of Egypt after 10 plagues, which we'll get to, Lord willing, in a week or two or three or however long it takes us, when those 10 plagues were over and those people were sitting there, mothers and daddies sitting on their front porch weeping with their arms around each other in Egypt saying, oh, if we had only listened, our firstborn son would still be alive. I don't think they were standing there saying, you go on and follow that man out of Egypt, you bunch of old fogies. You just following a man, but they were weeping from the plagues that had been spoke forth from the man. Oh my, they recognized something real. Exodus chapter 9 verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Oh no, you sinned all the time, Pharaoh. The other plagues you were sinning too. Just now you're getting a little closer to the nitty gritty here and able to admit it. Now he begins to confess his own sins to the prophet. He said, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous and I and my people are wicked. Oh, here now the devil's right hand man's going to have a testimony meeting. And tell how good God is and how much of a sinner he is. There's something about, I believe it was Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson once said that desperate times call for desperate measures. And he begins to get a little bit desperate. And he's, you know, he's talked a pretty good talk till now. But now things begin to get a little worse and a little worse. And now he's beginning to really feel in a corner. He said, oh my. He said, the Lord is righteous. And I've sinned this time. And I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I'm gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not fear the Lord God. Here he is, and Pharaoh confessing his sin, saying, oh, I've sinned, the Lord's righteous, and we're wrong, and please just deliver us. He said, all right, I'll walk to the city, the borderline here, and when I get out to the city streets, to the city limits here, and I spread forth my hands, the thunder's going to stop, the rain's going to stop, the hail's going to stop, but it don't matter what I do, you won't believe it anyhow. Right. Jesus said, even if one raised from the dead, they still won't believe it. Right. Remember Lazarus there, the beggar had died, and the rich man there letting him die at his steps, and then the rich man dies and he lifts up his eyes in hell. Brother Bram said the reason that he was screaming is because he didn't have anywhere to step. His body had died and he didn't have a theophany to go to because he wasn't a Christian. And there he was caught in the souls that are in prison now. There he is caught between both worlds and he's screaming out. Brother Bram said the reason he was screaming is he didn't have a place to step. And he begins to cry out and he says, oh, Father Abraham, just send Lazarus across the breach there and let him put some water on my lips. He said, he can't. There's a gulf that's divided there that he can't come. He said, oh, then he wants to become a missionary, you know. And he said, just let me go and witness to my brothers. Then that, or send Lazarus or send somebody, let them witness to my brethren that are gone on before. And Jesus turned to him and he said, even if they wouldn't accept Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't accept if one rose from the dead. Right. They cried and told Jesus when he was hanging there, the very one that had came to deliver them, the very one that came and to deliver his children as a Messiah. And here, the very ones that he came to deliver, the very ones he came to save, his very own children, crying, crucify him, and crying for his own blood. And he hangs there on a cross, and they've beat him, and they've striped him, they've spit on his face, they've ripped out of his beard, they've mashed a crown of thorns upon his head and drove nails through his hands and his feet. And there he hangs, trying to pull himself up to catch his breath with each breath, and he's laying there dying on a cross. And they look up there and say, oh, look, he healed others, but he can't heal himself. And it was just fulfilling the scripture that said, physician, heal thyself. They didn't realize the very psalms, the very things they were singing in the synagogue there. Oh, they pierced my hands and my feet. And all these songs that maybe they got up. And oh, we're going to have a special by Brother K. Ephesus this morning. And he would get up and sing a great psalm of David, not realizing he was condemning himself with the very words of David that he was singing forth, with the very words of Isaiah that he was reading. Here they were being fulfilled on a hillside over there. And here they are reading the very same words that condemning him, but their eyes had been blinded to it. And they said, if you'll come down off of there, we'll believe you. And he didn't fall to the devil's tricks or his bidding or anything that he had to say. If he had come off the cross and had flown around the world and gone up and did cartwheels and come back down and said, here I am, they would have said, see, I told you he was Beelzebub. See, only Beelzebub could do that. It didn't matter if he came down off the cross. They still wouldn't have believed it. There was nothing in them to believe it. He had done more than come down off of a cross. He had healed the dead multiple times. He had healed the lepers. He had opened the blind eyes. He had delivered the harlots and the drunkards and all these type of different ones from their sins and their past and all these different things. And they had stood there and seen him in their synagogue fulfilling the word, and they still didn't believe it. Coming off the cross wouldn't have done anything except just give him something else to call him Beelzebub about. But there he hung there, the very one that came to save him. Brother Bram said they paid him the greatest compliment that they could have, because if he would have come off the cross, he couldn't have saved us. He had to give his life to save us. I'm glad he was able to humble himself to the cross. I'm glad he was able to humble himself. We're even there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Brother Bram said he died more in Gethsemane than he did on Calvary, because it was a death to self. That's the death that we have to face. It's not the people out here that would love to see us, you know, fall into sin, or the people out here that would love to take a shotgun and blow our head off if we could. That's not the guy we have to worry about. It's not the guy that's going to make fun of us or write a newspaper article about us or put something on television about us that we have to worry about. It's that guy we look at in the mirror every day.
Amen.
That's the guy we have to die out to. That death to self. But he laid there knowing what he was going to face, knowing that he had the weight of the world upon his shoulders. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, if we can get to that spot in our life where we can be so dead to ourselves that only his will is what matters. Verse 27. Sorry, we already read that portion. I'm sorry. We went down to verse 30. Let me read you this from God. Hiding himself in simplicity. 1963. This is after he goes through and he gives the description of the Clorox. How that if you had a tub full of Clorox and you had an eyedropper and it had ink in it, and you would drop some of that ink in there, how it would just completely dissolve and remit it away to where the ink itself, the chemicals, would be so broke down that it would actually dissolve and become the Clorox. And he types that to our sins, how that once our sins was dropped into the blood of Jesus Christ, that it completely remitted it. He said, if I was to go down and somebody say, oh, Brother Branham, I saw you drunk, and I forgive you? And he said, but I never did it in the first place. He said, how could they forgive me when it never happened in the first place? And when your sins are remitted and cast under the blood of Jesus Christ, he throws them in the sea of forgetfulness. He said, it says you never did it in the first place.
Right.
Oh, what a mighty God that we serve.
Amen.
He says, and Moses, under the blood of that goat, sheep, walked out there and took that stick, reached towards the east. Thus saith the Lord, let there be flies. Never heard a fly, walked on back. It's already spoke. It's a thought. Now it's spoke. It's expressed. It's the word of God then. It come into a human's lips. A simple man under the blood of a bull or a goat. First thing you know, a green fly began to fly around. The next thing you know, they were 5 pounds per yard. What was it? Was the word of God spoken through Moses, the creator, because under the blood, he was standing in the presence of God, and his own words wasn't his words. Oh, my. Let me tell you, friends, tonight, if we can just get to that spot where we can stand so under the presence of God, not under the blood of bulls and goats like when Moses was back there, but now completely redeemed back into the presence of God, and we stand not under the blood sacrifice of bulls and goats, which couldn't completely remit, but now we stand sanctified under the blood of Jesus Christ. If we can just get to a spot to where our own thoughts aren't our thoughts anymore, if we can just get to a spot where our own words aren't our own words anymore, but it's him speaking through us, it's him working through us, it's him thinking through us and moving through us. What is it? Brother Bram said, when the Holy Ghost comes, it's tabernacling deity.
Amen.
In you.
Yeah, right.
A lot of people put it all right up here. Oh my, the pastor, he's sure a good guy, and I believe he's got the Holy Ghost, and I see God work through him. They put it all right up there. Oh my, our pastor, we sure know he's Holy Ghost filled, and we know he's a man of God. That's wonderful, but what about you?
Amen.
Others put it all on the prophet or all on the books. Oh my, we know Brother Branham, we know what he was called to do, and we thank God for it. I thank God for it too, but what about you? Don't put it all on the pastor. Don't put it all on the prophet. That's wonderful. I thank God for the prophet. I thank God that he sends pastors. I thank God for deacons and trustees and Sunday school teachers. But if you're dependent on the pastor or the deacons or the trustees, you won't get off the ground.
Right.
But if you're depending in Jesus Christ,
amen.
Remember, Brother Branham said, they asked him, he said, this man, you know, he's a Catholic. Can he be saved? He said, well, that depends. Is he depending on the Catholic Church or is he depending on Jesus Christ? Many people depend on their parents. Oh, my mommy, she was a good Christian. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Brother Branham said you have a 90% better chance of being a Christian if you're raised in the right atmosphere. I appreciate godly mothers. I appreciate godly fathers. But I'm not trusting in my father's experience or my mother's experience. My grandmother was a godly woman that was in Brother Branham's meetings. And if it hadn't been for her testimony, we might not have ever got to where we're at today. I thank God for it. But I'm not depending on her. I'm not depending on her. I'm not depending on any other brother or sister. It's no matter how filled with the Holy Ghost they are, I'm depending on Jesus Christ tonight. I'm depending on him for every breath that I breathe. I'm depending on him for my finances. I'm depending on him for my health, for my children's health, for their safety, for the token to be applied on my family. You say, oh, my old brother so-and-so, my, he's got a job, a good job. I bet he's sure a blessing to the church. Sure don't offend him because, my, we wouldn't want to lose him or lose his money. I'm not depending on brother so-and-so or his job or his finances. I'm depending on Jesus Christ. Amen. Finances come and go, health comes and goes, ideas come and go, moods come and go, politics and economy, it all comes and goes. The popular opinion of people comes and goes, but one thing remains, the Word of God. Amen. I'm dependent on it. I realize people flop back and forth to whatever's popular around the message certain times, but I'm not dependent on what's popular, I'm dependent on the Word of God. Amen. Oh my, he says his own words wasn't his words. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, it shall be given you. He said, where's the church standing at? Let there be frogs. And there wasn't a frog in the country. In an hour's time, they were 10 foot deep in places. That'll give you something to dream about tonight. Some of the sisters, Brother Lee, will have them stand on the pews before the service is over. 10 foot deep, you say, I don't believe it. I do. Why? Because the prophet of God said it. Can you prove to me they weren't 10 foot deep? Why would I question him over somebody else's opinion? They say, well, he can't prove that. Well, they can't prove that he was wrong. Amen. Even if it was just something he said in passing, even if it was just something that popped into his mind while he was in the pulpit, and he said 10 feet. It might have been 8 feet or 12 feet or 16 feet. I don't know. But if he said 10 feet, I'd rather believe that it's 10 feet than try to argue with him about it. I believe God was able to anoint him, even if it was just a thought that passed through his thought. You realize we're talking about a man here. Let me just move off of Brother Branham for a moment and go back to Moses. We're talking about a man that killed a man down in Egypt and hit him and ran off on the backside of the desert and hid. But then he could come back after his commission in such a mighty way that he could speak into existence fleas. He could call for frogs. He could call for boils. He could call for death and darkness and all these different things. And then he could speak those things out of existence. And can you imagine if the you know, they begin to cross the Red Sea there, and Moses said, you know, when we went through there, it was this many fathoms deep, and somebody lean over and say, I didn't see no measuring tape. How does he know how many fathoms deep it was? Well, I'm going to trust the guy's word that when his word spoke and he stretched out his rod and the sea moved back and it was dry for the people to walk across, I'll take his word over some guy that was just leading a goat across the dirt when he did it.
All right.
We got too many people following goat leaders. Oh, what did you do when you came out of Egypt? I see my goat Bessie over here. Me and her, we walked right through. We walked right through on dry land. I was there, and I shook the prophet's hand. I walked across, but, you know, I believe he was wrong over here, and I don't think he was inspired over here. Listen, you goat leader, you go lead you some goats. The sheep aren't going to follow you. Because the sheep will follow the man that parted the Red Seas and let it be a dry land when they went across. You say, Moses didn't do that. Oh, yes, he did. Got quiet in here. God spoke through his lips. I didn't see anybody else standing there that he spoke through. You say, well, it was God that did it. Absolutely right. But it was Moses' words that he used to perform it.
Right.
It was Moses' motions that stretched forth the rod across the sea and it parted. He was using an instrument to do it through. And Moses just happened to be the instrument in that age. If I would have been in that age, I would have been following the instrument that God used. And I wouldn't have got down and prayed to him or worshipped him. But I would have sure followed him and stayed real close. Whatever he said, whatever he did, I'd say, praise God, Moses, I believe it. Oh, but that quote was way back here in B.C. something or other before Moses was this. And before he was that, you going to believe it? I'll just take Moses' word for it. I know some of you are still inspired by Janice and Jambres and Dathan and Korah, but as for me and my house, we're going to follow Moses. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Why was it that when Dathan and Korah stood there, and here they were, anointed men with ministries, and they stood there and began to withstand Moses and said, "You're not the only anointed one." And they were right. They were right. He wasn't the only anointed one. It wasn't what they said that was the problem. It was the attitude they said it in. There were 70 others that Moses had sent out that were anointed. And the Bible said they even had the spirit of Moses on them. But yet when his spirit went to those 70, it didn't take any of the spirit away from them. Explain that to me. But God did it. When God went on the day of Pentecost and divided himself, and the Holy Spirit separated on 120 people, and then they went out and preached to 3,000 more, and it separated again, God didn't get any weaker than he was in the beginning.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit moves in mysterious ways, but we just believe it. But there they stood, anointed men. And they said, "Moses, you're not the only anointed one." That was right. But what was it? They were trying to elevate themselves up to where Moses was instead of staying in the anointing that they were called in. That's the problem with many today. They want to try to go beyond the prophet or be equal with the prophet. No, I'm not that stupid. I'm not trying to elevate myself to the prophet. I'm not trying to elevate myself beyond the prophet. I'm trying to be one of those that Brother Bram talked about in the Church Age book, that he said there were those that under their messenger would be the final voice to the final age. Amen. I believe we're a part of that group that's identified with that tonight. I don't claim to be the only one or the only church or any of that, but I think I have a right to identify myself with that quote. We're supposed to read ourselves in. The problem is many times we get too afraid. Oh my, I'd be scared to death to read myself into that. Why? Brother Branham told us to. Amen. Read yourself in this evening. There they stood, Dathan and Korah on one side, Moses on the other. And Moses said, "Choose you this day whom you shall serve." And why was it that the ones that were serving God had to walk over there and stand on Moses' side? What did it have to do with the man? Because he was the instrument that God was using.
Amen.
There he goes and he stretches forth the rod. And the instrument that God was using, the words that God was speaking, it came through that man, through a vindicated prophet. Remember, I was talking to Brother Hoover about it today. When Moses goes, and we'll get to it maybe in a few weeks, and he smites the rock, God didn't say, "Now, Moses, I didn't tell you to do that, and I don't want to embarrass you in front of everybody, but you know you shouldn't have done that, so I'm not going to perform it." He smote that rock, and water gushed out just as much as it did the first time. Even though he didn't do what God had told him to do, God still came and performed it. Why? Because he was a vindicated prophet, and God was going to back up his word. Elisha went down there one time, and they made fun of him. The little children, no doubt they heard their parents at the dinner table talking about it, and they just went and repeated what they had heard and said, "Oh, you old bald head, you should be careful. Sometimes I'll just stop here and rebuke some of us older folks. You should be careful some of the things you say about in front of your children, maybe about men of God or prophets or leaders or pastors or whatever it would be. You talk about something in front of your children, say something negative about somebody and run them down. You better be careful. That may be the man that God was using to try to get that child to an altar somewhere to receive the Holy Ghost. And then they get in a meeting and they're sitting there and they're battling what you said negative about that brother. You better be careful." And they sat there and they begin to run Elisha down and say, "Oh, that old bald-headed guy, who does he think he is?" And the children ran out there and began to mock him and say, "Hey, you old bald head, why don't you go up there with Elijah?" And he got so angry, he turned around and he cursed him. And two she-bears came out and ate him up. Brother Branham said, "I can't believe that that was the nature of the Holy Spirit." But he said it was an angered prophet, and God backed up what the prophet said. There was something about it, the instrument that he was using, the vessel he was using. He still honored their words. I've heard people say, "Well, Brother Branham didn't say 'Thus saith the Lord' about this or that, so I feel like I have a right to disagree." Well, I don't think Elisha had 'Thus saith the Lord' that he could curse those children, but it still happened. God backed up his words. Samuel, it said, not one of his words fell to the ground. If Samuel was a minor prophet, if he would do that for a minor prophet, what about a major prophet? Oh, my. His own words wasn't his words. "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you will, it shall be given to you." This is continuing on the quote from God in Simplicity, 1963. He said, "Where's the church standing at? Let there be frogs." And there wasn't a frog in the country. In an hour's time, they were 10 feet deep in places. What was it? It was God, the Creator. hiding himself in a simple man. I want to ask you something. If the blood of a bull or a goat be used for a bleach, which can only cover, could put a man in a position to speak the creative word of God and bring flies into existence, why would you stumble at the bleach of Jesus Christ's blood, who could speak a squirrel or something into existence? He says, don't you do it. Don't stumble over simplicity. Believe that he still remains God. Why is it that there's so many that walk away and question and say, it's not scientific. You'll never convince me of this. You'll never convince me of that. All that tells me is that if they had been there in the days of Moses, they would have did the exact same thing. Because there's many things in the Bible that we have much less scientific proof of than we do of the message. I don't have eyewitnesses there to tell me that Jonah really walked out of a whale's belly, but yet I believe it. I don't have eyewitnesses to say, I saw the stone roll back and saw Lazarus walk out in his funeral clothes still and them unwrap him. I saw it with my own eyes. I don't have a testimony like that I can share with you. But I do have people that was there and saw things in the meetings that I've known and talked to and experiences they've had, and they just confirm what we've already heard. We have more proof in this age. We don't have a photo of Moses with the pillar of fire or the Apostle Paul with the pillar of fire, yet I believe it with all my heart. Why would I question when we have scientific proof of it? But yet they still, many walk away and question and scratch their heads. What is it? There's something that isn't there to vindicate it to them, but yet it's the very same word is vindicated to us. And yet they see it and they walk away from it. Why? Because there's something down on the inside. There's something that's drawing us to it that doesn't draw them to it. Just as they could stand there in the days of Noah and cross their arms and laugh as he built the ark, but yet there was another group of people that said, oh my, thank God. I could have been born in any other family, but thank God I was born in Noah's family so that we could survive this flood. Thank God I could have been predestinated to be one of these out here beating on the doors and clawing at the wood and trying to get in, but thank God I'm in the ark. Thank God I'm in the ark of safety tonight. Amen. I could have been born out somewhere where never heard about the message. It never crossed my path. But I thank God that he's shown light in our age and that he gave me eyes to see and ears to hear. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come, how could they look and see frogs 10 feet deep one moment and then Moses speak the next day and not a frog in the land? How could they look and see lice everywhere on man and beast and everywhere and then a man come out and speak? Not a lice in the land. How could they come and see thousands of dead cows everywhere and not one dead one in Goshen? And they could stand there and see a man speak and boils leave people. They could see a man speak and hail and rain and thunder and lightning stop and still walk away and not believe it. The same way that they could stand and see thousands come through the prayer lines and the thoughts of their hearts revealed and then be healed and all these different things take place and visions fulfilled and prophecies take place and vindications and still walk away and not believe it. It's the same spirit today. I thank God. You say, well, why aren't you like that, Brother Nathan? Just the grace of God. I'm not any better. I'm not any better than Janice or Jambres or Dathan and Korah or any of their groups or any of those same spirits today. I'm not any better or any smarter, any more intelligent than they were. But grace. Grace made an atonement. God, by predestination, election, looked down through time and placed something down on the inside that I could believe it. I don't have to struggle to believe this. I don't have to beat my head against the wall and stay up at night and try to figure it all out. There's just something automatically down on the inside that when I hear that voice, it says, I believe that. I believe that. I believe those things actually took place. I believe the visions. I believe the prophecies. I believe the things. I believe the witness of the men that stood there and saw it. I believe it. I don't have to work myself up and say, oh my, oh, help me, Lord, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. I sure want to believe and I don't want to fall away. Just help me, give me strength to believe. It just comes natural, Brother Buckles. There's nothing else outside as we sing this song. I believe Brother Furman sang it a few services ago. Where could I go? Where could I go? There's nothing outside of this message that tickles my ears. Some of it makes me laugh at how far off they are. Some of it makes me laugh at how ridiculous people live out in sin and things here and the things they do and think that we're crazy. Some of it makes me laugh and makes me shake my head, but none of it makes me want to leave. There's nothing out there that'll attract the bride's attention. The thing that attracted the bride's attention was the pillar of fire and signs and wonders following. I thank God that we've been attracted, that we've been drawn to the right thing in this age. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. I bless your name. Lord, I bless your name. I give you honor. Lord, I give you praise. You are the light. Oh, you're the truth, the way. Oh, I bless your name. Lord, I bless your name. In prisoner's chains, with bleeding stripes, all inside. Sing it again tonight. Lord, I bless your name. Father God, we come tonight just to bless your name. Lord, we give you honor. Oh, we give you praise. You are the light. Oh, you're my truth, my way. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, let's just worship him together tonight. Yes, Father. Some midnight hour, maybe you will find that you're in a prison. Maybe it's in your mind. Just reach out and pray.
maybe you will find Satan's got you in a prison. Maybe he's tormenting you in your mind. You can reach out and pray. Tonight, why don't you defy? Tonight, Lord, we want to bless your name. Lord, we want to give you honor for what you've done. We want to give you glory for what we see you doing in lives. How that you raise the dead, Father. You heal the sick. You bind up the brokenhearted. Lord, you heal the wounded. Lord, you mend the bruised and the brokenhearted. Lord, you come on the scene and you comfort in a way that only you can. Lord, when we're sick, you're the Lord that healeth all our diseases. Lord, when we're in need, you're Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Oh, Father, you're everything that we have need of. Lord, when there seems like there's no way, you come in and make a way. Lord, when it seems like there's no way of escape, yet you come in and provide a way. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all the testimonies that we've received. For all the things that we see you doing, Father, Lord, we could just spend all night thanking you and praising you and glorifying your name. Lord, that's just the things that we know about, and yet we know there's so many things that you're doing, Lord. You're working in the background, maybe things we don't even know about, things we don't even see yet, healings that people don't even realize they've received, miracles that they don't even realize are on their way, yet I believe tonight there's a miracle. Oh, I believe you're working in the background, Father. You're moving amongst your people. Lord, you're granting deliverance. You're granting victory. Lord, I was thinking of a testimony of a brother that was telling recently how at a storefront meeting there years ago, him and another brother walked in and was delivered of drugs instantly in the service. I didn't know anything about it, Father, but you did. Lord, you knew all about it. You took it away. Lord, thinking of those that have come up for prayer and being healed instantly, Lord. Testimonies of leukemia tests being changed. Testimonies of, oh, Father, backs being healed and pain leaving and health being restored. Financial prayers being answered. Spiritual prayers being answered. Deliverance, Lord. Hepatitis B being delivered, Lord, when the doctor said it was there on one test and came back and said it wasn't on the next one. You're God that does all things right. You're Jehovah. There's no God like you. Oh, we worship you tonight. That's more than I can do, Father. I can't do those things. A mortal man can't do that. Brother Hoover or Brother Joe or Brother Layton and I, we can't do those things, Father, but you're able. We worship you tonight. Lord, we don't try to take credit. We don't try to take the honor or the glory or the praise. But we give you the glory tonight. We give you the honor. We give you the praise for the mighty things that you're doing. Lord, we love you tonight. We worship you. We magnify your name. We praise you. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. Lord, help the people to recognize you're still in the midst. You're in the midst of their storm. You're in the midst of the battle. You're in the midst of the trial. You're still the God that walks among the midst of your people. You're still a God that's a present help in times of trouble. You said you never leave us nor forsake us. That doesn't mean just on Sundays or just on Wednesdays, Father, but you're with us, leading us and guiding us each step of the way through our weeks, on our jobs, at our schools, wherever we would go. I believe the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of God. And I believe it's you that's doing the leading, that it's you that's using people to be a witness in this age. As dark as it may be, yet you've promised us that you'd never be without a witness. Oh, Father, I thank God to see a group of people that's part of that body of Jesus Christ tonight. We worship you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for all that we see you doing. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, Lord, I bless your name. I give you honor. Lord, I want to give you all the praise. You are the light. Oh, you're the truth, the way. Oh, I bless your name. Oh, I bless your name. You are the light. Help me sing this together tonight. My heart was distressed neath Jehovah's dread frown, and low in the pit where my sins dragged me down, I cried to the Lord from the deep fiery clay, who tenderly brought me out to golden day. Oh, he brought me.
Salvation at home and abroad, till men give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning.